This is the Oral History Project, recorded at the Lim Oliver Home on Friday, October 18th, 1985, at 1:30 in the afternoon. Interviewer is Sandra Hansen.
What are you getting to? Now what? Paul won't be the same.
That's okay. You can just start with how that those hard times affected you.
Well, I don't know if they affected me too much, but made you scratch there.
When you said that it didn't change a whole lot, it just got tougher. What things did you notice were tougher?
Well, you couldn't get a job and couldn't get no money. That was the main thing. You couldn't get no dime for nothing, you know. That was what was rough, you know. If you needed a dollar to go buy you a pair of shoes, well, you didn't have it.
How did you get your money?
Well, you just kind of done without, you know. You don't do like you can now, go get something, run down and buy it. You just gotta have to figure ahead. Figure out a way to get it, you could get some, you know. Might take you 6 months to figure out a way to get it. That comes slow. And the further it went on, the harder it was to get. Even 2 years after Roosevelt went in there, you know, it got hard to get any money, you know. Unless you get in one of them programs or something, you know, like WPA or something. But I didn't have a prayer to get going there.
Did you participate in any of those programs?
A little bit down there at the schoolhouse after Catherine and I got married. I went down and took a team and went down and dug that basement, or partially dug it, in there for the schoolhouse.
What school was that?
The Toynton School. I worked down there about 6 weeks, I guess. But that's the only time they ever let me work on the WPA. Now, one winter I worked up there to that. Now, Mrs. Harnon got me that job. And that was kind of under Roosevelt, see? When they built that road around the Guernsey Dam up there. You know, on the east side of the river. I worked up there one whole winter on that road. Building that around up there. When I was there, a whole bunch of CC, 400 or 500 CC guys worked on that road. And that was all built by hand, wheelbar and shovel.
That deal you're telling me about with Rymel and his beans,
yeah.
Trading those.
Well, he just told everybody around he wanted to get rid of those beans out of them. Bins down there so he could put wheat in. He could sell that wheat for 4 cents a bushel today. He could sell a bead for the market for him.
So how did you work it then? You got your beans, what did you do with them?
We took them up to Alaska. Traded them. That's the only place I know I could trade them, see? They'd give us $2 a hundred for them if we told them up there in trade. Not no cash. Just in trade.
What would they do with the beans?
Well, they packed them up and sold them to people. They evidently got their money back, so they would have let me have their groceries.
How did you get your money for the gas?
Well, that's where we sold that wood to different people, the old Ashenhurst down there. We could sell him a load of bottles once a month, while we could do pretty good. But sometimes he did burn enough wood.
Yeah. And you got that up at
Sunrise, Hartville, whatever you want to call them. We take corn up there and trade it for that wood. We got that corn mostly from old Charlie Morris.
What was the wood worth?
I think they gave us wood for about $2 a load, you know. And we'd take it down and get about 15. But we had a lot of work involved in that, you know. If you could have got a quarter hour, you'd have been better off work by the hour.
How many days did it take you to get a load?
Well, we'd go up there one day and get a load, and heck, it probably be 9, 10 o'clock when we got back at night with that load of wood. Well, we'd get up the next day and cut most of it up, you know. Well, see, we burnt wood too, you know. Anyway, we'd cut a load up and sell one here and one there, and we could have done pretty good if we could have sold enough of them. You know, them other people there had to get money too.
Yeah. You were telling me once that one of the reasons you got into farming was because that would make it easier for you to get food.
Well, that their county law put us the farming, you know. Wasn't allowed to go out of the county after Roosevelt got in there to get a job. Well, old Goblin and them offered us to let us farm for that sure crop, you know. And I told him we didn't have nothing to farm it with, and he said, well, you can use my stuff. So we started in.
Before that, you'd worked on the roads around here?
Oh, yeah, all over the country. In Colorado and Nebraska and Wyoming. A little bit in Montana, not very much in Montana, though. And I never liked Nebraska. They only paid 35 cents an hour.
And around here, you were getting how much?
50 cents. We went to... That's what we got in Colorado, too. That's where I met my wife over in Sterling, Colorado. Built that road from Sterling over to Fleming.
What were some of the projects you built around here?
Well, I worked two or three different times on that road from Lingle to JM. Then I worked on that road from JM to Lusk. And then I worked 3 different years on that road from Lusk to Lost Springs. Different years. We built it from Lust to Manville the first year. And the next year we went back and built it from Manville to Keyline. And the next year we built from Keyline to Lost Springs. Then we moved on up between Orange Junction and Douglas and built the house. That was a different title.
Yeah. How much of this Cherry Creek Road did you work on?
Well, we built from that town.
Veteran?
Veteran to town that hit the highway and went to Cheyenne.
And then this picture here that was taken at White City, you were working on the road to Huntley at that time?
Yeah, that runs out to Huntley. Turned off north, southeast, and we got that was a diamond engineering company. The state kind of built that road from veteran to over at that highway, you know. Saying it was cold and 40 below zero for about a month there. Couldn't see nothing. If you had been a contractor, you would let you work. Tucked 8 head of horses on plow, then they could plow.
Well, after they put in that law about having to work in the county, and then you said earlier that they passed a law where the married men got the jobs before the single men.
Yeah.
And that kind of influenced you to get married, too.
Yeah. Y'all, they wouldn't give me a card or wasn't married, see? Said they had to keep them for their married men. Well, I don't know how that's... They had to live, too. Oh, of course, I didn't say that, but that was just, I had that bite anyway.
Yeah. And you said you quit school when you were 15 and went to work?
Yeah, I was 14. I wouldn't have been 15 until the 17th of July that time. Old Jess Davis. I tried out there with Patrick. I got out of school the 7th of May and went up there the 8th, and I was supposed to report back in the 9th. She said, go and get the job. Old Ace Riggins was the boss on that job. He sure learned me a lot about that road work. In fact, we moved from there up to Mandel off of that job.
So things were pretty easy for you in those years when you're working on the road. You know,
You just about, if you could, a good skinner, you know, you could drive a team good. You just about go any place on one of them roads and get you a job.
Was there any time along there when you first started noticing that things were getting tougher?
You noticed that every job would be harder to, they kept letting less jobs and stuff, you know. And on the last of that Hoover's deal, they got to where there wasn't no jobs. They shut everything down, you know.
Did a lot of people blame Hoover for that?
I think they did. Of course, you know, I, a kid, I never paid much attention to it, you know.
Go get Grandpa Kid five. Go tell him bye.
You said that your father had a homestead up north of Fort Laramie?
Yes.
When that started?
About 3 miles out there, I think. You know where they used to have that trash pile out there, dump their garbage? Right west of that was his homestead. He didn't own nothing east of the road, but my uncle owned that place. As you go on north, and then the road turns east, right in that corner. My Uncle Ernest owned that place. They traded the places. Got Missouri traded to Ernest sight and unseeing places. Ernest moved to Missouri that he come out here.
But he was disappointed.
I mean, he was too.
You said your dad lost his place?
Yeah. About 1930, I think, somewhere along here. 31. He lost it to old John H. Paul. But then that, he wasn't the only one.
About how many people would you guess on a percentage left the area during that depression?
I'd say 80% or more. Just clean them out. Just clean them out.
When these farms went vacant like that, did they stay vacant, or did somebody move in?
Well, a lot of times they stay vacant for 10 years, you know. Back in the 40s sometimes, they started doing a little something with them again. But until then, they laid there. So I don't know. Now, John H. Paul, he sure had to pay taxes and stuff on that land. Well, gosh, what would that be on that much land?
Even for those days.
Yeah.
And you'd mentioned there were, how many people had kept their places up in there?
I think you were, I can only figure out about 3 or 4, I don't know. I know old Charlie Nearing didn't lose his. And there's 2 or 3 more of them around there, you know, didn't lose them. But most of them lost them.
Did you ever go to any of those foreclosure sales?
Well, they never done like they do now, the auction at all, but I don't know how they just took the place over, I guess. Now, I know that's what they done to my dad. They never auctioned it off. He just signed it over to them. And I think that's what most of them done then. Somewhere or other end, I think there was law. If you signed it over to them and they did not foreclose on it, why, you weren't stuck with the remainder. If you made them foreclose on it and they sold it for cash, you know, you stuck for the rest of that bill if it didn't bring them. I don't know if it's fit that way or not. So most of them old guys owed more than they figured it was worth, they just give it to them. They're going to take it anyway.
You were telling me earlier that your dad was quite a walker.
Oh, yeah. He could walk 50 miles a day. He walked 50 miles in 12 hours.
That's walking. What was his theory on machinery?
He didn't think y'all had to ride machinery. Said that was a waste of money, ride machinery. Said it was a dang poor bad that could outwork a horse. And you know, I think he actually believed it. You take a horse will go about 50 miles. Well, a horse will travel up to 80 miles in one day, but he ain't going to travel out 80 miles the next day.
And how far did your dad walk in a day?
Well, it was 50 miles from our place to Lusk. You know, he'd walk up there one day and back the next. He went up there once to see if he could get a job on that Union carbide dish. Ain't that what they kill all them people over in India, that Union carbide plant? Makes us, well, I don't know whether they use that anymore or not. We used to have lights and stuff made out of that Union carbide.
Oh, yeah.
And then
those little carbide lights.
Yeah. That used to be in the house over there where we used to live. They didn't give good light. He went up there to see if he heard these foreign people up there. Well, I don't think they make it up there anymore, but they used to make a lot of Union carbide up there. Now, I don't know whether that's the same kind that killed them people over there in India last summer or not.
Probably not. A lot more sophisticated now.
Anyway, he got up there and they didn't want nobody, so he had to come back home. Yeah, and one winter I know he worked down at that Henry and walked home every Saturday night and back Sunday night.
Bet he wore out a lot of shoes.
I bet he did too. You know, people used to walk a lot more than they do. Old John the Greek, I don't know if you ever talk about him, but he used to live out north Fort Laramie. 10 miles to town. And he worked on the section 2 or 3 years and walked back and forth every day at home, putting in 10 hours on the section. He got to where the last he'd ride a horse down that bridge, turn the horse loose and let the horse go back home. Then he'd go out to walk back home at night.
How did you come up with your money to buy stuff in those?
Huh?
How did you buy or get your money to buy things? You were saying that it was short.
Well, you just kind of had to. See, when we bought that place down there, we got $150 for it. Over 80 down there. We got off that job. See, when we worked out, we didn't draw our money like we do now, you know, week after week. We let this buyer get what we barely had to have and save that money back, see. Well, when we got down at Buffalo, we had $600 coming. We come down and get that. They bought that place for $150.
You were rich.
Yeah. Of course, we owed some other little bills, too, but...
And what year was that?
was in 33. Fall of 32, and then I bought 30. We bought that the last day of December on 1932.
You're talking about improvements.